رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters and welcome to Ramadan Nights. I'm your host Abu Abdurrahman and I'm very pleased to be joined tonight by my dear brother Sheikh Taha. Assalamu alaikum Sheikh Taha.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, very well.
Good to have you with us once again.
Good to see you again and inshallah ta'ala to have another session about this interesting topic, alhamdulillah, during the month of Ramadan.
It is the 14th night of Ramadan, pretty much.
It is.
And heading really halfway, almost.
Yeah. So it was too quick, subhanAllah. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned it to be a few short days, you know. Ayyama ma'dudat. And it is, subhanAllah. By the time it starts, halfway through it, now we're looking forward to the last 10 nights. And that's it. Before you know it, it's going to be Eid. May Allah make it easy for us to obey Him and do our best in this month.
In our last lesson, the Shaykh, we spoke about the world of jinn and shayateen. And today, inshallah, we're going to discuss a very interesting topic, and that is the topic of magic and sahar. But before we do that, we'd like to announce to our listeners that from Tuesday, the 26th of March, or the 15th of Ramadan, in 2 days' time, Al Bayan Radio will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney. From this Tuesday, the 26th of March, until the 30th of Ramadan or the first day of Eid, depending on the moon sighting, Al Bayan Radio will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney. For those out of Sydney, you can continue listening on our apps wherever you may be around the world, Al Bayan Radio. Barakallah fikum. Dear Sheikh, why the topic of magic? And, you know, we'll start off straight away. What is magic in the first place from Islamic perspective?
Yeah, so after speaking about jinn last week, today we'll speak about magic because there's a strong bond and a connection between the two. But in a nutshell, magic is a forbidden science. It is a science that you study, like you go uni and study medicine, and study engineering and archaeology. It is a science that is merely a contract and an agreement between the shaitan, the devil, and the jinn from the shayateen from the jinn, and the magicians. And they agree amongst each other. The magician would offer the shaitan acts of kufr, disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and shirk. In return, the shaitan would serve this magician and give him some help and aid. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned speaking about the topic of magic, and he said, قَالَ هُوَ عُقَدٌ وَرُقَى وَكَلَامٌ يُتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ أو يكتبه أو يعمل شيئا يؤثر في بدن المسحور. He said it is a collection and a combination of knots being tied or talisman or words that are written or uttered that has an influence upon the bewitched person, upon his heart, his physical body, or upon his mind without direct impact or without the magician directly touching physically the inflicted person. So that is in a nutshell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about magic in the Quran, and Allah azza wa jal stated وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. In Allah azza wa jal, he directly connected between shayateen and magic, that shayateen teach people magic and that shayateen teach people kufr. So magic is a kufr. It is a forbidden science that is frowned upon in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Therefore, the Islamic ruling on it, the Shaykh, is that it's haram.
It's haram.
Strictly
it's
forbidden. Haram. And a Muslim should keep far away from it.
Yeah, it's not just haram, it's kufr. It's disbelief. Yani, if somebody, inshallah, we'll get to that later today as well. If somebody performs magic, that takes him out of the fold of Islam automatically.
Shaykh, just, you know, maybe here, maybe going off topic a bit, or it's really related. From this, we can basically say that it's very important not to normalize this topic of magic and sahar to our children through entertainment today or video games.
Yep.
Because we see a lot of parents take a lax or, you know, easygoing approach. Yep. Should a parent strictly keep his child far away from it, from the age of zero, we'll say?
Yeah, I would highly and strongly advise anybody to keep their children off social media in general and cartoons. There are, especially with the new cartoons that are coming out, Sheikh, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of them speak about magic and beautify the image of magic.
That's the problem.
And that's preparing the next generation to accept magic and deal with it. And subhanAllah, you will see from the deception of the Dajjal, is that he will be a strong magician and he will deal with the jinn and the shayateen in a way that's unprecedented. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that the Dajjal, the Antichrist, will have with him two rivers, or one from Jannah and one is from hellfire. The one that is apparent to people as Jannah or as a cool river is actually hell. And the other one that is apparently to people, subhanAllah, that looks like a river from blessings and so on, will be like hell, and the other one vice versa. Wallahu a'lam.
So the parents, keep your children far away from anything that contains sihr, magic, sorcery, in any way, shape or form, whether it be apps, whether it be video games, whether it be entertainment, movies, cartoons and the like. Barakallahu fikum. Now, the Sheikh, magic, we've mentioned it. Does it really have a real effect on people?
That's a good question. In relation to that, the scholars differed actually about this topic. Al-Khattabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrated and he said that some people have denied that magic has physical actual effect on people, and he said they have denied the reality of it and the truthfulness of its effect and influence. But he said rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the true answer or the true opinion, the correct opinion, is that magic does have an actual physical effect upon people, and it can lead to causing issues and problems. And that's what Al-Qurtubi also said rahimahullah ta'ala. He said ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ, the أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ, they agreed that the magic in itself is a reality. It does have an effect and it does have influence. The only group that literally yani went sidetracked with that, it was the Mu'tazila. They said that magic is limited to hallucinations, and they quoted the story of Musa alayhi salam and how the magicians threw their sticks and it was like a hallucination. But we say no, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about magic in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about it in the Sunnah, and there are many adillah that prove that magic does actually have an influence and an impact on people. And from its effects, as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, they learn from the magicians what they differentiate with between the husband and the wife. So yes, it does have an effect.
Sheikh, you mentioned there Mu'tazila, their view regarding magic, a type of magic, which leads us to the next question. Mm-hmm. Are there categories of magic?
Yes, there are many categories. SubhanAllah.
Or types, maybe?
Types, yes. So Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he said, وَالسُّحْرُ وَالسِّحْرُ لَهُ حَقِيقَةً, magic in itself has an effect on people. And he says, فَمِنْهُ مَا يَقْتُلْ, from it is what causes death, وَمِنْهُ مَا يُمَرِّدْ, from it is what causes sickness, and from it is what separates between the husband and the wife. How do they do that, Sheikh? I'll mention just four categories.
No.
SubhanAllah, there are many scholars that went too deep in specifying the categories of magic, but we can say there are four. Sihr al-Kaldaniyin wal-Kashdaniyin, Chaldean and Kashdanians magic. So those magicians, what they do, they study seven planets in the sky, and they, in their own belief, that those stars determine the unseen, and they choose and decide what will happen in the future and so on. It's like very similar to horoscopes. In reality, when they get some feedback through their magic with those planets, it's actually from the shaitan, like the shaitan used to do to the people of Jahiliyyah. When they would go prostrate to their idols, shaitan sometimes would produce noises and make noises, deceiving people, making it seem like those idols are responding. So that's top number one. The second category of magic is a magic that doesn't need jinn. And some scholars say that this is the strongest type of magic. Yani, it's a science you study, and you make knots and tie knots that affects the bewitched person without the interference of jinn. Yani, some scholars say that when the Prophet ﷺ was affected with magic in Medina, subhanAllah, it was that type of magic, when it would appear to him that he would do things and he عليه الصلاة والسلام wouldn't have done them. So he kept on making dua until Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him the mu'awwidhat, and he recited them. With every ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him shifa. The third category is through seeking assistance directly from the jinn and the evil spirits, which are which is what we're going to address mostly today, inshallah ta'ala. That's like a continuation of what we did last week. The fourth category is through imaginations, eye tricks and charms. And this is what we see commonly on TVs nowadays. This type exploits the fact that vision can be deceived, captivating viewers' attention to perform illusions or tricks. So we can say those are the four main categories of magic, or that's how magic normally is done.
Now, the Sheikh, can magic cause physical harm, physical sicknesses?
No. So as we mentioned earlier, there were two views amongst people in regards to that. We say it does have an influence and effect on people. The effect that it can have, as we mentioned, subhanAllah, it could cause death. But before mentioning this, yani, because I know that a lot of people are terrified of magic.
Mm.
Before speaking about magic and what it can do, what it cannot do, Allah Azza wa Jal tells you in the Quran, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They can never harm anyone with it except by the permission of Allah. So if death is caused by magic, it is, or if a sickness is caused by magic, or if anything else is caused by magic, it is only taking effect because of Allah's decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So it's like any harmful
it's
weapon.
It's like anything, exactly. It's like if a gangster comes and raids your house.
He has a gun, he has a sword, he has a knife.
Same thing. And as a Muslim, where we stand, subhanAllah, with our belief that Allah is the one that controls benefits and harm, and that there's no shaitan, there's no devil that can harm you except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to establish this. If the magicians of the earth altogether got together to harm you and cause you a harm that Allah hasn't decreed for you, then that they would fail because Allah hasn't decreed it for you. And if you weren't afflicted with magic at all and Allah decided for you to get sick, you'd get sick. Some people get cancer, others get viruses and so on. So magic causes physical harm. And as we mentioned, yani, it could lead to physical illnesses. It could cause death. It could cause sometimes for women, as we'll see later, maybe today or next week, inshallah, it could cause istihada, for example, for a woman to continuously bleed. It could cause other issues like insanity. Sometimes it could cause physical problems. Yani, some physical illnesses are caused by magic. And so, now we don't want to attribute every sickness and every illness to magic, but sometimes people go to doctors for 20 years having issues. They can't fall pregnant. A woman can't fall pregnant, for example. And this woman has been to so many doctors. They say there's nothing wrong with you. And there's no problem in the genetics between you and your husband. There shouldn't be a cause for you not to fall pregnant. SubhanAllah, when she gets into ruqya and does ruqya, you realize that there was jinn that's stopping her. There are many examples that we can give of magic causing harm to people. Wallahu alam.
Now, Sheikh, do these magicians claim or to know the unseen? Or do people believe they know the unseen?
Yes, they do. The magicians in general are of many types. Some of them deal with the planets, as we mentioned. Some of them worship the devils. And there's a category called kohan or kahana. Those are fortune tellers in the Western communities and societies. They're famous in the Arab world. They read the coffee cups after you drink the coffee cup. They claim that this tells about your future. Some read your palm and they think that they know the future. As Muslims, we believe that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen. No one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But magicians can sometimes tell you about things you have experienced in private that nobody knows about but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you might wonder, how would they gain that knowledge? Now, I want to remind you that every single Muslim and every single human being in general has a qareen with him. And some magicians, what they do, they make their shaitan talk to your qareen. They make their shaitan talk to your qareen and they tell you about things you've done privately in the past that nobody knows about except Allah. So that's how they trick you in believing what they say about the future. If they say that we know the future, or they might tell you about things in the future that might happen in the future. So what do you do in that case? Do they actually have the knowledge of the unseen? As you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in a hadith that the shayateen would sit one on top of the other. They would sit one on top of the other until they reach the lowest heaven. And they listen and spy and listen to the angels talking about the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that happens and they listen, you see a shooting star. Allah Azza wa Jal sends a shooting star to burn that jinn. Sometimes it burns him before he narrates that word to the following jinn. and sometimes it doesn't. So he might narrate that word, which is narrated to those jinn, to the magician. And at the end of the day, it will be one thing that he heard from the angels mixed with about 100 lies. So the magician might tell you something about the future, and it might coincidentally be or happen. But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ata arrafan, ish, fasaddaqahu ma yaqul, aw kama qala alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammad." Whoever comes to a fortune teller and asks him about the unseen and believes him, then he's disbelieved in what was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another statement, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that if a person, out of curiosity, some people, they don't believe in this. They say, out of curiosity, I want to see what these people do. If a person, as narrated in a hadith, in another hadith, goes to a fortune teller and just asks him without believing what he says, you haven't believed anything. You don't believe in what they say. Just by asking them, your prayers will not be accepted for 40 days. Can you imagine? For 40 days your prayers, you still have to pray them though. You still have to pray your 5-day prayers, but for 40 days
it won't
be accepted. No rewards. Why? Why, Sheikh? Because for the magician to get to that level, he has to commit kufr and worship the shaitan, as we'll see later. And for him to do that, you're going there, paying him money out of curiosity, you're supporting that kufr, so you're sharing that sin. So if you don't believe what he says, your salah for 40 days isn't accepted. If you believe even one thing he says, then you've disbelieved and left Islam. Allahu a'lam.
Sheikh, sometimes we see these so-called magicians performing so-called supernatural things, walking on water, flying, cutting someone in half. How do we explain this?
Now, so this is something that we see commonly happening in the West too. And you see some Western magicians flying over buildings, walking on water. Those are supernatural things. And supernatural things can be divided into three categories. The first category are the miracles, or is the miracles of the prophets. So this is
mu'jizat?
Yeah, mu'jizat. Things that Allah Azza wa Jal supports his messengers with to prove that they are prophets and messengers. The second category are karamat. Karamat are given to the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the righteous believers, those close believers who have piety, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who believed and had piety and implementation of the deen. The third category is obviously what you see from supernatural things happening on the hands of magicians and magic. How do they do it? Very easy, very easy. It's like you going in an airplane and flying in the air. There's a body that carries you. So as we've established last week, or last week, that some jinn are able to fly. Some of them are able to fly.
It's within the ability which Allah has given them.
The ability, exactly. So they carry him, they carry the magician, and they fly with him. So it's very easy. Subhanallah. Other people, they deceive you by walking in water. So it's very easy command. The shaitan can carry you and walk with you. SubhanAllah, there was one magician. He used to perform these tricks, deceiving people, claiming that he was a, SubhanAllah, he was like a righteous, pious wali. And you know how some people stab themselves with knives and it comes out the other side and nothing happens? This magician, SubhanAllah, he repented. After he repented, he said, one time one of the things that led him to repent is that he was performing those so-called karamat in his house, or in a public setting, and a person came and he started reciting Ayatul Kursi. As soon as he finished reciting Ayatul Kursi, his jinn and shayateen started running away. And what happened? He was already stabbing himself, so he actually stabbed himself and he started bleeding. And they took him to hospital and took him about 3 months to recover. That was a big lesson for him. But yes, they can do supernatural things. But again, those things are performed with the help of jinn and shayateen.
So, Sheikh, there we spoke about the difference between a mu'jiza and a karama. And the mu'jiza is given to a prophet, karama to someone who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you also mentioned there a few times the link or the connection between magic and the jinn. What's the connection?
Maybe
we can touch about that a bit more, talk about that a bit more, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's very relevant to the topic before, which is a question that you asked just before. So how can we differentiate if we see a person, whether he's a magician or a wali, or a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know the prophets and their miracles are limited and nobody can compete with them. Mainly you look at the life of the person. You look at the life of the person. If you see a pious believer that's practicing, then if you see supernatural things happening to him, that's most likely a karama. If a person doesn't pray, doesn't fast, lives a filthy life, and then he claims that he's a wali from Allah Azza wa Jal, then that is, in general, a lie. And he gets help and aid from the shayateen. Now, what's the link between shaytan or the connection between magic and jinn? We can say that jinn, in general, help the magicians. They give him help and aid. And they do not do that for free. They do not do it for free.
Comes at a price.
It comes at a price. And the price is hefty, Sheikh. So the price is kufr. It's kufr. So step number one is for the magician to commit kufr. Step number two, that's an entry level. So if he doesn't commit kufr, shaitan would never help him. If he commits kufr, then shaitan would start helping and supporting that person. Now, with the increment in his kufr, the worse it gets, and kufr is of many levels, the worse he gets with his kufr and disbelief, the more help the shaitan gives him. So you have magicians, they have ranks and rank systems, where some magicians are more powerful than others. How? They do not only commit kufr and shirk themselves, they cause others from the community to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaitan and the magicians are actually companions with what they do. Their mission is to take you out of the fold of Islam and place you into hellfire wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala.
Sheikh, how does the magician get the shaitan, you know, to do as he wants, basically? Is it by offering this sacrifice, kufr, or is there anything else?
So, generally, the magician can do many, many things. Amongst them, first and foremost, is a way which is al-iqsam. Al-iqsam is like making oaths and begging. So this way is the way of begging and glorifying the shaitan. What the magicians do, they isolate themselves in a dark room. That's, yani, we're not going to talk too much in detail, so people stop. So people don't follow this at home. Yani, we don't recommend you doing this at home. Just yani, a disclosure. So the magicians isolate themselves in a dark room. They turn on a fire and they put certain scents of bakhur into that fire. And they start glorifying the shaitan and calling upon his name, making oaths by the name of shaitan. And those are words of kufr and disbelief. Yani, it's like things you can only say to Allah Azza wa Jal. You can only glorify Allah with these words. So they humble themselves, humiliate themselves to the shaitan until the shaitan presents himself to the magician and he does what he wants. Now, why in a dark room? Normally, jinn and shayateen, they like darkness. And bakhur, certain scents of bakhur are liked for by shayateen, especially bakhur that you burn without mentioning Allah's name on it. They feed off it and they benefit off it. Wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. And then shirk is committed, so that's how the shaitan commits that act. Now, there are a few other ways as well. Amongst that is slaughtering. They slaughter animals, but not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Sacrifices to other than Allah.
Exactly, exactly. And if you go into Aqidah, Sheikh, in the books of Aqidah, they talk in details about sacrifice. And sacrifice is an act of worship. Sacrificing an animal. Allah created this soul to exist on this earth and to serve your existence, for you to feed off it. So when you, subhanAllah, end the life of an animal for you to feed, you should mention the name of Allah. Do it for Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you do it for other than Allah Azza wa Jal, that's an act of kufr. SubhanAllah, there's a magician that got caught. One of the things he used to do, he used to get red cloths and surround his yani room with it. He had a prayer mat. He got a rooster. And the rooster specifically because they call and wake people up for Fajr and Adhan. He poked the throat of the rooster and let it bleed out and would get the blood to squirt everywhere in the room. On the sheets, on the floor and everything. And then he said he used to pray. There are videos yani, of him explaining this on the internet. SubhanAllah, he would then pray the prayer that we do, but he'd pray to the shaitan. At the end, he said, at the end of all of this, he would sleep in a humiliated feet or in a fetus position on that prayer mat, humiliating himself. And then maybe after all of that, the shaitan would come. Maybe and maybe not. Yani, look at how disgraced they have to yani, low they have to be and how much they have to lower themselves and humiliate themselves for the shaitan for him to help them. Another way, another method, it's called the sihr al-sufli. And this is one of the ugliest methods. Yani, this is like from the strongest magics out there where the shayateen, they would, or the jinn, the magicians, may Allah protect us from that. Yani, well, it's very ugly. What they do, they would wear the Quran as shoes and go with it in the bathroom. And they would write the words of the Quran using feces or menstrual blood. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. They would commit major sins, like we're talking major, like homosexuality. They would commit fornication with their relatives, with their spouse, with their daughters. They would curse Allah's religion and so on. For they have to get to a very bad level in kufr and disbelief for them to be in power. But once they get to that, they don't deal with normal jinn. They deal with the marada and the strong shayateen out there. From the methods they use is najasa. And subhanAllah, one Shaykh, subhanAllah, may Allah preserve him, Adil bin Tahir al-Muqbil, he's got a nice series on the internet in Arabic, but it's called Dam'at Muwahid. Dam'at Muwahid. He's actually, back in the days, he used to be responsible for the committee of Al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar in relation to magic in Saudi Arabia. So he would hunt down magicians and so on and, you know, capture them.
What a job.
So one of the magicians they actually caught was a magician that used to sleep in a pile of rubbish in his house. يعني النجاسات, filth, urine, feces, urinate on themselves. They do all of that to please the shaitan. Another method, they would write the Quran backwards. They believe in astronomy and astrology. يعني we're talking about believing in the stars and kufr. يعني anything, if you want to sum it up, anything that is considered and categorized as kufr is a way to please the shaitan and a way to get the shaitan to cooperate and work with the magician.
Sheikh, you've mentioned some of their methods, and we've seen that Umar, he recognized someone, you know, that he used to be in Jahiliyyah. He recognized him that he used to do 1, 2, 3. I think it was in the door of Sihr.
Yes.
Is there any way for us? And Umar had great foresight and knowledge and wisdom. And is there any way for us to be able to recognize magicians today?
Definitely. I can give you some things to look out for. And our biggest issue, especially in the West, is the lack of knowledge. And that causes a lot of issues. When a woman has issues with her husband, she ends up going to a so-called sheikh. Yani they call themselves sheikh. That's the biggest disaster. They don't promote themselves as magicians. You see, they never pray in the masjid, they never obey Allah Azza wa Jal, yet they call themselves sheikh, and you know, they're popular amongst people. They tell them, oh, go to that person, he'll do a ktiba for you, or you know, he'll do a ta'weed for you, and that would fix your relation with your husband and so on. So what should we look for? If you happen to go and see a person for ruqya, before speaking about the signs of magic or magicians, we advise the brothers and sisters, if you're afflicted with anything, you have issues with anything, go to your local masjid, your respected scholars that you trust and know their aqidah, you know their iman and their knowledge, and ask them if they know somebody that does ruqya. Otherwise, do not risk it, because you're going to multiply your issues. You're going to come out the other side with 10 times the issues you started with if you go to magicians. Now, how can you tell a magician? The first thing they ask for is about your name and your mother's name. If anybody asks you, what's your name, what's your mother's name, run at the door, don't even look back, because that person is definitely a magician. A sheikh, a raqi, would never ask about your mom's name. Another thing you can say, subhanAllah, is if they ask you about traces of somebody's hair, a piece of clothes that has sweat on it, tissues, anything like that is a sign that this person is a magician, because that is only the work of magic. Ruqya itself is just Quran and dua. Now, sometimes they ask for specific animals. They tell you, bring me a rooster, bring me a goat with that specific description. They slaughter it and feed you from it sometimes. So they slaughter it for shaitan. They have this commonly in Morocco. It's called the zar. They call it a zar. So they get together and they get a sheep and they slaughter it for the shaitan, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala, and they feed people from it. If you see them writing weird things on pieces of paper, that's a magic and magicians. If they utter words that you don't understand, you know, some magicians, what they do, they sit with you and they say, A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati. Yeah, so it's a known dua, but at the end they say, A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati, and you don't understand, you can't hear what they're saying. They trick you by saying something that's familiar, but then they throw words of kufr within. So if they say anything that you can't comprehend and understand, run away. If they ask you to stay away from people for like 40 days in a room, isolate yourself in a room, stay away from these people. From the signs of magicians, they sometimes ask you to refrain from touching water for about 40 days.
Yani 40 that's, days?
Yeah, for 40 days. Specific type of jinn ask for those things. They sometimes give you things to bury in ground, in the ground, underground. They tell you put it under your pillow, put it in your pocket, wear a necklace, wear something for protection. Those are all tama'im. The Prophet ﷺ yani forbade us from any of these things. If he tries to tell you, if he tells you things that are unknown about you, yani he met you for the first time, it's the first time he sees you, he starts telling you your name, your parents' name, where you came from, where you live, and so on. That's a sign that this man is a magician because he's talking to his jinn. If you see him writing pieces of paper with squares and letters and numbers in between, if you see that, that's magic. That's definitely magic. And in a lot of cases, they write it and wrap it up in with leather and tell you, do not open it. And they emphasize, do not open it. They seal it. Yani, subhanAllah, yani, why would you need a piece of paper? Carry the whole Quran. Can the Quran itself, the physical paper, protect you? The Quran protects you by the will of Allah if you recite it. If you read Ayatul Kursi after Fajr and after Asr, you're protected from jinn and shayateen. With that, the same. If you read them, not if you write them down. Yani, in general, those are some of the main signs that you can tell if a person is a magician or not, or is an actual raqi, wallahu alam.
Sheikh, backtracking a little bit, we mentioned before the relationship between the jinn or the devils and magicians. Do the shayateen, are they bound to obey the magicians, or it's selective, or how does this work?
That's a very interesting question, Sheikh. The shayateen sometimes don't. In reality, they do in most cases cause the magician and his family a lot of pain and headache. And you see the shayateen generally and normally attacking the magician's wife or the magician's kids, causing issues and problems amongst them. Sometimes the jinn itself rebels against the magician and attacks the magician himself. So he lives in a constant state of fear and humility. And as we mentioned, he has to do so many acts of kufr, and then maybe the shaitan would come to him, and maybe not. And sometimes yani, the shaitan would ask him for horrible things, like to, wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala, fornicate with his own daughter, with his own mother, and so on. Yani, they would live in misery. Sometimes, if the shaitan rebels, the magician resorts to a sihr al-sufli, or the stronger types of sihr, and he makes a contract with a higher jinn, like gangsters, you know. They go to the main boss, and the boss forces that jinn to obey that magician. But there's that relation of hate and resentment amongst them. Yani, a lot of jinn, are forced to get into magic, believe it or not. Yani, if a magician deals with a boss or with an afrit, that afrit forces the jinn to work for the magician. And sometimes they imprison their families. Sometimes the magician, or not the magician, the afrit imprisons the family of the jinn itself and locks them away. And they threaten them, if you don't follow the magician, then your family is going to get attacked or harassed, and yani, in some cases, killed. Wallahu a'lam.
Now, the Sheikh, we see today that there are many types of fortune telling, you know, whether it be the star signs, horoscopes, palm reading, the Fijian Ahwe,
yep.
Popular
yep. Amongst the Arabs, yeah.
Amongst many of us growing up. Are all these things a type of magic?
Yes, so from the categories of magic is fortune telling. How do they do that? As we mentioned, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the jinn listening to the angels and so on. That's how the magician notifies or it gets notified by the jinn and shayateen. They gain this knowledge and they trick you with it. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So fortune telling in itself is an act of magic, is a type of magic. It's one of two categories. It's either you're either dealing with a deceiver that's not a magician, but they make up stories and they act like they know the unseen, and they just want your money. The other category are actual magicians that deal with your own qareen. They tell you about things that you've done in the past, things that only Allah have seen from you, things you did privately and not even your own parents or friends know about. So they start telling you these things, and then they deceive you mentally. You start believing them. They start lying to you about the future. Or they can sometimes tell you about things in the future. Most of it are lies. Most of these things are lies. Sometimes they could sometimes tell the truth by taking one thing from the jinn that they heard from the angels. But again, even if they coincidentally tell the truth, they are telling lies. كَذَبَ الْمُنَجِّمُونَ وَلَوْ صَدَقُوا. They are telling lies even if they coincidentally tell the truth. Going to them again causes people to leave Islam. If you believe them. If you don't believe them, 40 days of praise are negated. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى.
Sheikh, so this is how we explain how sometimes they get it right?
Yes.
Out of the many lies?
Many lies. So unfortunately, what people do, they do look at the sometimes 0.1% of what coincidentally happens in the future, and they ignore the 99.99% of lies.
Yeah, if you speak like 10,000 things, one of them
exactly.
may come true.
Exactly.
Now, Sheikh, this issue has been, I've heard it many times. Can magic be treated with magic? Is that allowed?
Yeah, that's a good question. SubhanAllah, there some scholars spoke about this. There's something called the nashara. And nashara is a type of magic. And in Islam, you can say, is it allowed to treat magic in general? And then you can ask another question, is it allowed to treat magic with magic? Treating magic is permissible if the methods are according to the Quran and Sunnah. Treating magic with magic is fully forbidden. And I'll tell you why. If you go to a magician and you ask him to treat a magic that you have casted upon you, how does he solve that issue? The only way for him as a magician to solve it is to go to a stronger jinn than the one that you're possessed with and ask him for help. And so he would get 10 other jinn with him. They fight, imprison or kill the jinn that is possessing that person, and they would take his place. So they treat one thing, but you end up with 10 times the issue that you started with. So treating magic with magic can only end up with worsening your case, not making it better at all. So Islamically, we can say confidently that treating magic with magic is fully forbidden and haram. Treating magic with ruqya, Quran, sunnah, dua, that inshallah will be the last week four, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about ruqya in details. That's fully permissible, inshallah ta'ala.
So someone can be cured for magic?
Definitely, yes.
But taking the right means.
Taking the right means.
We'll discuss that, inshallah.
And relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, the shifa only comes from Allah, nobody else. Naam.
Sheikh, this presents this question. I know it may sound funny since we've discussed many things. Why do people resort to magic in the first place? Is it, you know, we've heard before because the husband or wife wants to make the husband or wife more beloved to each other, you know, and this is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Why do people resort to magic? Is it only for these kind of things, or there are other motivating factors?
There are many, many factors, and I can tell you the main factor is ignorance. Is ignorance, and sometimes desires. Sometimes people don't know, and they that's why in our masajid, Sheikh, you know, especially on Al Bayan Radio, we always are talking about aqidah. Because if you don't know your aqidah, you're going to end up destroying your life. Aqidah is not only relevant to your hereafter, it's relevant to your life. So out of ignorance, people don't know the halal and haram. They think anybody with a bead and a hat, khalas, has become a sheikh, mashallah, bismillah, Allahu Akbar, follow them. You need to be careful and know your deen. The other type is out of jealousy, deception, hasad. Masalan, a person is jealous because his friend or his cousin has a successful marriage. So they do magic to make that person divorce his wife. Sometimes they do magic, masalan, to make a woman fall in love with him, or to make a man fall in love with a woman. And subhanAllah, maybe later we can talk about it, inshallah, next week. But subhanAllah, that could backfire as well and make the person hate that person. And there's a specific type of that magic. It's called tiwala. Tiwala is a magic that's done to make the spouse in love with his wife or with her husband. SubhanAllah, at tiwala, sometimes they make the person hate all women except his wife. That could that would literally make the man hate his mom, his sisters, his family members, everybody. And eventually it could lead to him hating his wife. Because shaitan's main goal is to divorce a woman from her husband. You know, the Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith, the shaitan brings his followers, puts his throne on water, and brings his followers, and he says, what did you do today? I tell him, I made this person steal. That's nothing. Anyone can do that. Another one comes up and says, I made this person do this. No, it's nothing. When a jinn comes and he says, I persisted and I continued until I made him divorce his wife. He says, come here, you're the one. Divorce is one of the greatest disasters.
Broken homes is one of the worst problems exactly. We're facing in the communities.
Broken homes equals broken children, broken parents in the future, broken community in the future. And that leads to the destruction of the whole nation altogether. So we need to make sure we do not fall in these traps. From the other types of magic, people do it to cause insanity sometimes. Yani they are jealous of a person's intelligence and they want to cause him to lose his mind. There are types of magic that actually can cause that. SubhanAllah. Again, the benefit and the harm can only be done by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And how is it done? The shaitan possesses that person and stays in his brain, in his mind, and controls few areas in the brain and squeezes it, which causes him to forget more often, lose focus, act like an insane man. Sometimes people do it to cause people laziness, and sometimes to divorce a husband from his wife. A person is interested in a woman and she's married, and it happens a lot. I don't want to mention certain countries, but in many cases, people go overseas, visit their family members, and they end up coming back with magic. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى Those are some causes and some reasons that people commit or resort to magic. We can say there are two main categories: ignorance, due to ignorance, and due to lusts and desires. Whether it's jealousy or any other thing, Wallahu a'lam.
Now, Sheikh, before we wrap up, we have one question here. What do you do if you have a hijab or find magic?
What do you do? That's a good question. You go to the Sheikh of the masjid that you trust, first and foremost. I can't tell you burn it, because in some cases, magicians are deceptive. So what they do, they put double magics in there. So they put a magic and they put another magic with certain bakhur. If you burn it straight away, what would happen, you'd activate another magic upon the same person. So I would say go to the sheikh that you know you trust and give that magic to him and he'll break it. In most cases, you can read the mu'awwidhat and break it apart, open it, soak it in water that you've recited Quran on this water. Make sure you recite Quran, Al-Kursi, Al-Baqarah, and so on, and blow on that water. Soak those papers in the water until the ink is fully dissolved. When that happens, go somewhere remote, dig a hole in the ground, and put that water in that hole and burn that paper afterwards. But I would advise, and just be careful, and sometimes they put bakhur or certain scents. If you burn it straight away, it would actually activate a different magic. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. Sadly, Sheikh, we've come to the end of tonight's program. Inshallah, we'll continue next week with more of this interesting topic and Inshallah. Very beneficial topic. Jazakallah khair. Any final comments?
I just want to advise my brothers and sisters in Islam, do not resort to any of these acts. Do not resort to magic. Don't be deceived with papers and hijabs. Hijabs can't protect you. The protector is Allah Azza wa Jal. And learn your deen. Wallahi, the best way to avoid magic, from what I've seen in our community, the best way to avoid magic and dealing with magicians and so on, learn your aqidah and go to the people of knowledge. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. And as you beautifully put it, dear brothers and sisters, link yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect yourselves with the adhkar and the overall taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'd like to remind our listeners again that from Tuesday, the 26th of March, Al Bayan Radio will be on 107.9 FM in Sydney. Please spread the word. From Tuesday, the 26th of March, Al Bayan Radio will be on 107.9 FM for the rest of Ramadan, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. For those out of Sydney, please continue to tune in through our app, which you can download from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Barakallahu feekum, dear brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank the Sheikh one more time, Sheikh Taha, and our team. Barakallahu feekum. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.